Welcome, everybody, to another live episode. Two in a row. Two live episodes in a row of the Building Minnesota Rocker podcast. It's just that time of year. It's just that time of year to get on, chat with you guys. Obviously, there's a lot of news happening within the CDL, within our team. And so we just felt like tonight was a great time to go live and just have a little bit of a touch point with the fans. We brought the coaches on, the masterminds, obviously, behind the whole roster operation in Brian Saint, head coach, and Jake, the assistant coach and lead analyst. And of course, I'm here as always with Brett Diamond, the COO. Brett, talk to me. Tell me, what are we doing here tonight? What can we say? What can we not say? You keep me in check. I appreciate that if you do.
Yeah, no pressure, just live podcast in the middle of roster mania. So hopefully we don't reveal any trade secrets here. But yeah, so, you know, we're excited to get to have a chance to chat with the fans tonight. We are not going to reveal any roster moves.
What?
But what we are what we are going to do is chat a little bit with the coaches about what's gotten us to this point as we sit here on September 8th, get some insight from them on broadly the discussions that they're having with players, what the past weekend looked like. It was fast and furious. We expect the rest of roster mania to be pretty crazy as well. You know, we will take questions from the chat. Happy to answer what we can, but as I'm sure you would expect, there's some things that we just can't talk about, whether it's because of league rules or because we just can't show all our cards at this point in the process. But what we wanted to do was have a chance to just share what we can, right? It's a fluid process. But you know, one message that I do want to send to all the fans before we turn it over to the coaches, you know, free agency is upon us, right? And we plan to be very aggressive in free agency. As an organization, we're all in. We have tremendous support from our ownership, from the Will family, from Gary V. And, you know, we ultimately want to put a championship caliber team together. And that's what the coaches are spending every waking hour driving towards. So that's really the tee up. I'll let you all take it from here.
Yeah, exactly. Brad, I'll let you talk in just a second, but I just wanted to like frame it up easy for you.
Throw my way.
What the hell's going on, man? Like, that's got to be the number one question from the chat. Is like, obviously the news just came out yesterday that we didn't flex the second year option for any of our players all the way through the subs. Like, we literally have zero players on the roster right now. So I'll let you go ahead and say what you're going to say, and then just kind of let us know where we're at.
First off, I would have leaked it off if my tweet hit 10K favorites.
I saw that.
However, since it didn't, I ain't saying anything now. But yeah, as everyone saw, we decided to not extend our plus ones with any player from our 2020 roster. And I feel like the main reason for that was we wanted to explore all possible options, and we didn't want to lock ourselves in around automatically building around one of our former players. If you extend their plus one, you're giving them basically like the keys to the castle in a sense, and you're like committing to just doing like a full rebuild around them. But with how the market's looking right now, I feel like there were so many options and avenues to explore, and we had to see everything out there.
Yeah, that makes sense. One question from the chat, and I think this is a pretty good one, is our team's dropping players to re-sign them at a lower price. Jake, do you want to kind of go into like, what does this mean? And this is just also speaking broadly about all teams in the CDL. Like, when you see a team, like I think even today, like London, I think they only flexed Shawnee's second year, and you see a lot of other teams like letting go of other players. Does that mean that those players aren't going to be on those teams for the 2021 season, or what happens now?
Yeah, great question to whoever asked. So as I think most people in the chat know, or maybe some don't, all CDL contracts in 2019 were one plus ones, meaning that the first year was a typical guaranteed contract, and the second year the team had the option to re-sign on agreed upon terms. So you did see a lot of teams not flex that option to extend player contracts. That does not mean that these players will not be on that same team come the 2021 season. I do think that you are seeing a lot of franchises who may strategically want to negotiate down, or on the flip side, they may want to lock a player into another 1+1 so they have the opportunity to build on him for what would eventually be 3 years as opposed to what could have only been 2 had you extended his 1 year option. So if a player was to be released, it could go one of three ways, really. They could not be on the team altogether. They could be renegotiating at a lower rate or renegotiating at a equal rate or higher rate for more time, just to sort of stay under that franchise for a little longer. So as a fan, I think it's fun because you really want to look into those types of things and say, all right, what's the strategy here? Are they really gone, or could we see them in that same jersey come 2021?
I think you explained that really well, because most people kind of saw it as a play to get players at a cheaper value, but I think there's a lot more to it. Not extending their plus ones also gives you more wiggle room in their new contract, being able to put in things like bench salaries and stuff like that, where you saw instances last year where, you know, these players had these huge guaranteed contracts, got dropped early in the season, and then just rode the bench, didn't stream, didn't do anything, and were just sitting there just collecting their checks every single month. And I think being able to add in things like bench salaries kind of keeps every player on their toes and doesn't really give them the opportunity to slack off.
I think that...
Ashley, I saw a question in the chat about, you know, why make announcements of departures if there's a possibility to come back, and I'll talk to that a little bit, because it was something that we talked about within our team, both with the coaches and with the content team. And ultimately, you know, the way it works is that if you don't extend the plus one, those players are now free to negotiate with every team, and so we knew that, as you know, understandably so, players in that position are going to tweet out that they're free agents. You know, for a team that did not extend them, they're unrestricted free agents. So rather than have there be confusion where are they on the team, you know, they're negotiating with other teams, what we said was, we're thanking them for the season that's come, that's, you know, that's behind us, which is true. You know, we love all the players that were part of that first roster. We've talked at length about it previous podcast. You know, coaches have spoken about it. Every player that was part of that first roster, you know, special place in, you know, for all of us personally and as an organization. You know, but the reality is, any of them could sign with any team. You know, they're free to negotiate with other teams. We're talking to other players, and so to, you know, just getting back to the question that was asked, that's really the reason that you know, that at least for us, we made those announcements yesterday, and other teams are, you know, I think following suit, but certainly don't want to speak for what another team is thinking or what their motivations are.
Yeah, I think I mean, we really did talk about this a lot, obviously on the staff side and before this was made public. You know, how do you tip your hat and show, like, if we were to not tweet while the player's tweeting free agent, like, we have to say something, right? And to us, the number one best sentiment that we had here was just that we had to thank them for our first season through the ups and the downs. Like, our first season was fucking wild. Sorry for cursing. Our first season was freaking wild. I can't edit this because it's live. But, like, back-to-back grand finals, beating FaZe on land, the craziness that was LA, like, and then the online troubles, like, that was unexpected, to be honest. Like, just this whole year. And, like, I'll always look back on all 5 of those guys and Tiny and Exceed as, like, that roster that brought me great, great memories, because I truly loved this first season. So, to me, it was like, we have to honor them by thanking them. We have to let them play the field. And I think coaches, you guys brought up some great points that not a lot of people might be thinking of there with restructuring deals. Like, I could easily see, I mean, I can't speak on any rumors, but, like, I could easily see a superstar player for a team, you know, getting into a new contract with a non-second year option. One question we had from the chat was from Quincy. Shout out, Quincy. Is the plus one a team option or a player option? Brett, do you want to speak to what that is and why a little bit?
Yeah, they it's a team option. Pretty simple.
So we decide. But I think one thing that to kind of note about that is what helps the players in those contracts, which you guys already mentioned it, Brian mentioned it, that money's guaranteed no matter what happens, no matter if you end up on the bench or whatever. So there's protections on either side in it, from my POV. We see people kind of commenting in the chat here. Chris asks a really good question. Can you go into the roles and dynamics you're going after during free agency? And I think it's important to note also that we're going from 5v5 to 4v4. So Brian or Jake, whichever one of you kind of wants to start this, what are the roles mean on a 4v4 team versus 5v5? And what are you guys thinking going into a brand new COD that, you know, obviously it's not out yet, so it's hard to make those decisions, but speak a little bit to the roles of the roster you guys are building.
Yeah, I think role composition when it comes to 4v4 is pretty simplistic. I mean, you definitely don't know how the game's going to play out until it actually releases and the team starts scrimming, but basically what you're looking for in the offseason to yield the highest percent of a chance of, you know, having a good roster off the bat is getting a main AR, a main SMG, and then two players that are a bit more flexible, but, you know, you definitely want one leaning more toward a second SMG role, and you want the other one to kind of be a bit more of a AR fast style slayer in a sense.
Jake, any kind of thoughts on obviously a new season, new format from 5v5 to 4v4? What are you thinking when you're looking at the board and free agency, and you're like, and you're looking at who we've got? You're like, is there any kind of angle that you've specifically taken?
So it's a good question. I think, you know, coaching, roster building, anything else in life, you kind of learn as you go. So I think we learned a lot from our roster construction in 2020 in terms of what makes a good team, what do teams need, right? Teams need good leaders. Teams need someone who has the ability to take over game. Teams need a player who is selfless and puts winning above all else despite personal stats. I think there are specific attributes in people you look for when rounding out a team of four, especially a team of four, because 4v4 COD is much more strategic. The comms are less hectic. You are really using a lot more brain power, I would argue. So team composition goes much further beyond what gun someone's using. It really goes toward what you can bring to a team outside of your gameplay. And that's something we're seriously, seriously considering when building out our roster for next year. We're, like Brett said, we're going aggressive here. We're trying to put together a team that can bring Minnesota some championships, not only in sort of 2021, but in the years to follow. And we're trying to get the infrastructure in place to help make that happen.
Intangibles, baby. Probably the most important trait of any player. I mean, it's so easy to put together a team just based off player roles, but the intangibles each player brings, you know, their attitude, their mindset, just, you know, their work ethic. Those are the things that I like to really look at from a coaching standpoint, because you'll see some good teams on paper, but they'll have clashes of really volatile personalities that can make the team implode.
Well said, both of you guys. I got one more question for you, then I'm going to let you off the hook, because I know you guys are sweating over there. Just kidding. After this, we'll have we'll actually have Icon Nation coming on. He breaks down a lot of what's going on in the COD community, whether it's Roster Mania stuff, breaking down gameplay and all that stuff. So it'll be cool to have him on. But one more burning question for you guys. I thought this was a pretty good one. At what point, and Brett, too, chime in, at what point does a franchise look at building a brand versus trying to win a ring every year? Similar to how a rebuilding team drafts a star rookie player and tries to build over time. I'll toss it to you first, Brett.
This is my favorite question. This is my favorite question, by the way. Who wants to take it first, Ashley?
Listen, man. Listen, I'll start and I'll give it to Brett. All I'm saying is my job to help grow the brand with content. It helps when we're winning, But I'm no matter what, no matter who's on our team, how well we're doing, I'm building content. I'm helping build that brand. And I think that success to me, when you think of it in that lens, success to me looks like amazing moments, whether that's after a tough loss and you care, right? Or if it's after a crazy win or that crazy grand finals versus Dallas in LA, like those crazy moments are what makes those the content and really strengthens the brand that you're building. So to me, they both go hand in hand with each other. But number one, I think, is winning. And I'll let Brett, I already know what he's going to say, so I'm excited. I've heard him say this so many times, but it's because we truly believe it.
This is something we talk a lot about internally. And frankly, this was the first questions that the coaches asked when we started thinking about our roster for next year was pretty much exactly what that question was in the chat. And the answer is we want to win. And that is the most important thing. And everything we're doing is driving towards winning. And I truly believe that winning drives everything. And if we've got a winning team, Ashley, the rest of the content team, the rest of the marketing team will make awesome content around them. Now, don't get me wrong. If we can get some guys that are awesome at content and that have big followings, like I will take that every day of the week. I know Ashley well. I know everybody on the staff that's in the chat well. There's no question that when you have opportunities to bring great personalities on board, bring players that bring with them their own following, those are all positives. But fundamentally, if you're not winning at the end of the day, you're only going to get so far with those other things. So, you know, certainly the coaches add their perspective, but that's something we do talk a lot about internally.
Yeah, winning is huge for me. I've gotten 3 second places coaching over the past like year and a half, and getting second is probably the most bittersweet feeling out there. So winning is, you know, something I've been trying to accomplish for quite some time. But also, I want to answer Debo's question that I saw in the chat. What previous COD are you using to evaluate and project how players will perform in the new title? I don't think it's good to go and look back at a certain game. Great players will be great players every single year. Going in MW, people thought this was going to be like a really slow traditional style game. It's something that Jake said all the time, but the game was fast as F. And I feel like gauging players off of a single in particular COD is never a good idea, because you see it year after year, people will be like, oh, this guy was just an AW player. Oh, this guy's just an IWer. Oh, this guy's just an MWer. Oh, he was just a BO4er. Simp and Abizi weren't BO4ers. I mean, those are just the recent ones that come to mind. People say year in, year out, and talent's going to be talent, point blank, period.
Yeah, just to reiterate, that has sort of been our mantra throughout the entire offseason. You have no idea what the next Call of Duty will look like. For reference to the chat, all of the pros before MW were playing Call of Duty 4 Remastered because they thought that the pacing of that game would be the same as Modern Warfare, and it could not have been anything further. I mean, they were playing 4v4 Search and Destroy 8s, and that might be the slowest Search and Destroy game ever, and that was just night and day from what you saw this year. Like, I think Brian answered it perfectly. Quite honestly, we are not using a previous Call of Duty as a benchmark for the team we're trying to build this year.
You're only as good as your last at bat.
Yeah, one related question for you guys. So we've got the multiplayer reveal tomorrow. We'll be streaming it. Ashley can talk about that.
Brian, you got your hand during the
setup last week. Does that, at the stage that game is in, does that tell you anything about what to expect come the start of next season?
Keep in mind, our impressions of the game are still embargoed, so just, yes. Oh.
however,
let me ask it a different way. In general, no, but I think, so, I mean, the real question is not necessarily what you've learned from getting your hands on it, but even thinking back last year to Modern Warfare, you know, when the beta comes out, when there are those periods when you're getting your hands on the game early, what does that tell you? What are you trying to generally take from that?
I take absolutely nothing from it every single year. You'll usually see me play the betas for maybe 2 hours, and then I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm over it. I just need the actual game to release. And even when the actual game releases, the way it changes between the first month to the second month is always absolutely unreal every single year. If you look last year in MW, for the first month of the game, or like first like 3 weeks maybe, teams were running 5 M4s on the map, on every single map. And then 1 month later, it was like 3 to 4 MP5s. And like the speed of the game just changed tremendously. Back in World War II, at the beginning of the game, like the first month, first 3 weeks, whatever it was, teams were running 4 bars, just like ARs around the map the entire time. The game is always going to change so much the first month. There's a lot of balancing the devs have to do once the game actually releases. They can only get so much data just from a beta. That's not a fully complete game. So you need the full game to drop. You need that first wave of patches to essentially clean up the game and get it to a state that it's going to be relatively consistent on for the rest of the year before you can actually judge it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's also pretty difficult to, I would argue impossible to learn a game to the point that it's needed to compete as quickly or fast enough to cover the span of playing a beta. So there's just so many unknowns even after a beta is closed and no one can play it again. Like Brian said, typically you see in the start of every Call of Duty on the competitive side, it starts out very AR dominant and AR heavy. That just allows players to play slower while they're figuring out the game. And then once all of the spawns are figured out, once it's very easy to manipulate portions of the map, you see the game speed up a lot more. You see sub play be pretty dominant toward the end of years. And that's because teams and players in particular are able to learn the game, and then it becomes, okay, everyone knows what the right thing to do is. Now, how can we do it quicker than the other team and make them make a mistake? So I really do not think the beta is indicative of player skill levels or thresholds as we go into new titles.
I mean, on top of that, I didn't even play a beta. I played an alpha for this game. That's
it's the game. Like, the core is there, but so much changes over time. I have played every single COD early since, what came after Black Ops 3? Ghosts? I think since Ghost. I've played every single COD early.
Ghost was way before Black Ops 3. That was after Black Ops
2. I meant Black Ops 2, my bad. Okay. I meant Black Ops 2. So since Ghost, I played every COD early, except for last year's. I'm telling you, whenever you play it, like, even when you do play a beta, when you're playing for those first 2 or 3 hours, it's the best thing you've ever played because it's what you love, which is COD, and it's new. Like, there's new maps, there's guns, there's new mechanics to learn. It's pub stomping. It's not the same as competitive. Mm-hmm. Yes, players that are really good at COD are going to fry on an alpha or a beta or the full game or whatever it ends up being, right? But you can't, like, build, like Brian, you're not going to be, like, going around to, you know, watching gameplay tomorrow if they put some out and, like, judging, okay, yeah, we better get Tim the Tapman on the squad. Like, that's not how it works, right? So tomorrow's going to be hype. I'm just saying, I can't say much. All I can say is be at the same place, the Rocker YouTube channel, at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'll be here. You never know where you're going to see. It's going to be a good time. But
question.
Yeah.
Will you be uploading any of my gameplay?
Yes. We have actually. I have draft after this. After this podcast, I'll be looking at your first game.
I was getting smoked, so I really don't like it at
all. Nah, that's okay. That's okay. We'll edit you into
the first game was alright.
It's on the editing. So you guys will be able to see gameplay on the channel tomorrow. Can't tell you what we think about it. Can't tell you anything else, but just subscribe, hit like on the stream, and that's it. All right, guys. Before we say anything else, how's Roster Mania going? Are we good? Do you have a call to take?
Crazy.
It's crazy.
It's been like one big speed dating session, talking to players, agents, owners, trying to see what everyone's about, seeing whose vision aligns with ours, and it has been an experience I will never forget, and will look forward to doing again because I love the high pressure nonstop environment. So I for one am enjoying it.
Awesome. Brian, what about you? Has this been just an insane week or two here? I mean, obviously.
Yeah, it's been nuts. Last season was pretty crazy as well, but this one a lot more so than that. But yeah, excited to get things wrapped up, hopefully soon, kind of give myself a bit more free time. I've been in Florida for the past few days, and I haven't even had any time to do Florida-like things.
Get outside, get warm. I suppose you're
yeah,
glued
not
to the phone.
Yeah, I've not been outside at all. I've been glued to my guest bedroom here and to the couch and with my phone just strapped to my ear.
Beautiful. All right, well, I'll let you guys get back to it. Best of luck. I know you guys are out there doing your thing. We're being aggressive, as Brett says, you guys mentioned. So I don't know what that means, but I'm excited to see. I'm excited, and I'm mostly, y'all know what I'm really excited about. I'm just so content-minded. I'm just excited to announce. Like, whatever happens, I'm just, however the ducks line up, I'm excited to rock her out. And just, like, I think people will like it, hopefully. Hopefully they'll make a cool enough video. But all right, coaches, thank you so much. We'll talk to you later, I guess. That's it.
So yeah, I expect some videos to be recorded in the near future.
Me too.
Thanks for the questions, everybody. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, there were some good questions in there.
Thanks,
guys.
Have
a good night.
Later.
Bye.
All right, stream. It's just you and me right now until we get our guest icon in here. I'm going to give him a call. Let's see. So I want more questions. We're going to talk a little bit more broadly now, chat, about you know, roster mania. What's going on? The latest rumor, the latest tea. Just kind of seeing what's really good. Let me get things situated. Gotta listen, guys. I'm on air talent, but I'm also doing the thing with the stuff. All right, it's tough. Here we go.
So, Ashley, while you can focus on the production. You know, I'll tell everybody listening. So, Icon has no idea who we're talking to, no idea what we're thinking or what we're doing. So we brought him on to have some fun, right? We're going to hear have him talk about what he's hearing out there. We might ask him some questions. We want the chat to ask him some questions, throw out what you all think the rosters might be. But the term plausible deniability is in play. Icon does not know what we're doing.
He literally doesn't. This is why I selected. I was like, Icon, you got to come on, and we're not going to tell you anything. We just want to hear, like rumors, like, what's hot right now? What are people talking about? And obviously, I know way too much. I'm not going to say anything that indicates much, but I'm just excited. I'm always excited to talk COD Roster Mania. I've been living through it since 2010. I am old. All right, Icon. Like I said, thanks again for joining us. Appreciate you joining. And let's look at the chat here and see what they're kind of saying. Ooh, this is a good one. Spencer, aka Frag Out, wants to know, in our opinion, and Icon, I'd love for you to go first. Who are the top five free agents that are on the market? There's so many, because so many teams, they've not flexed the plus one. So who do you think are the top five free agents right now?
Wow. So first, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Like you guys have said, I have no behind the scenes information whatsoever. I don't know what's going on with Minnesota. I don't know what's going on with Atlanta. I don't have those type of discussions. I just kind of take the rumors and break them down and just go from there. But first question here, I guess it's kind of a heater. I guess there's a couple different ways that you can approach that, right? Because I guess there are people that have a destination in mind. So obviously one of those top people would be like Clayster or Arcides or somebody like that. But in the world of Roster Mania, they're kind of already slotted into rosters. Now, again, I don't know if any of that is true.
Unconfirmed.
But those, yeah, exactly. But those two names would probably be the biggest, right? I feel like those are guys that you build your franchise around. If you have somebody like, so this all started with Clayster. They didn't even get to enjoy their championship for 24 hours.
It's actually really sad.
It is sad. And then it was like less than 24 hours later, that all went down, and then that just kicked everything off. So, but if you're Clayster, if you're a team that's looking for somebody, I just feel like that's one of those staple pieces that you really build your roster around. I mean, he has it all. He's an insane talent, but he also has, you know, he's that hype man, and he's an intelligent player, and he just gets the mood right for everybody. He's that in-game leader. So there are only a few players like that are really available. I think Arcides would be another one, but from there, I guess another good one would be Scraps and Wuskins. I was pretty shocked when they got released from London. Now, again, don't know if that's just, you know, a let them go and then, you know, do a one-on-one again, like you guys were talking about earlier. But I think Scraps and Wuskins, they were kind of like the lifeline to that team, right? It's like kind of the reason why people tuned in and rooted for London was because you wanted to see that story succeed. So I guess those are two others that you could go with. I'm interested to see what happens with Dashy. It was just official today that Dashy was released from OGLA. Obviously, there are rumors that he's going to Chicago, but we're kind of all over the place here. But if I'm looking at like the top five players, I guess those are really the ones that I'm looking at. I'm interested to see what type of impact they have around the league. And I guess we'll hear soon enough with free agency being official here in like a week or so.
That I think that every name that you just said like rings true to me, right? I think the number one thing that I look at when roster mania and free agency kind of kicked off, like you said, it felt like a night of sleep, and then all of a sudden the league was like, yep, it's 4v4, free agency started like less frick ago. Clayster, I didn't expect that. I don't know what I expected, I guess, with the rosters downsizing, but I just didn't expect that, man. I'm wondering what's going to happen with him and where he'll end up. I think Dashy's a pretty good call out. I think I'm not really sure exactly what happened on that Optic Gaming roster for like that, and just not really work out if it's a roles thing or a personality clash thing, but I'm excited to see, you know, where he ends up going. Chris Orca in the chat has a pretty good question. Oh, I just lost it. Nope, I found it. Biggest dark horse in free agency. Is that too hard to tell, or is it pretty close to like the names that you just said?
Yeah, it is hard to tell because, again, like you guys were talking about earlier, we're not quite sure on roles and who will play what position going into next year, and especially with 4v4. One of the biggest names that I'm kind of focused on right now, because I think he's so good and he's so valuable to a franchise, would be Priesta. Obviously, there was that rumor earlier that Priesta might end up going to OGLA and kind of forming that OGLA Thieves roster in the throwback to the end of Black Ops 4. But since then, it's kind of been walked back a little bit. And I think if I'm Priesta, I think that's probably the smart move because he's so good. We saw over the course of the year, especially the latter half of Modern Warfare, when it switched to more of like that 2 AR meta, like you saw him run an AR a little bit more. You saw Arcees run an AR a little bit more. He was so good because he plays so fast and he was more in his natural role. So for me, that's kind of a dark horse. I think if you plug him in basically anywhere, I do think it's a good fit for OGLA, but I think it would be a good fit for Chicago. I think that's a player that you could probably build around if you're one of those. It seems like almost every team that kind of dropped their roster today, from LAG to you guys yesterday, and then London and Paris, and it's just all around the league. It seems like everything's wide open at the moment. So I guess if I had to answer a dark horse, that would be it. And going back to what you said initially, I was also super shocked when it came to Clayster, just because when I first started looking at this, like as soon as the 4v4 hit, I kind of started to think like, what would you do if you're Dallas? Because there's so many good players there. And I thought, well, you keep Shotzi because he's the MVP of the league. And then you keep Clayster because he has all those intangibles and he was the one to go. So this whole last week or so, it's been a whirlwind. A lot of things have happened that are completely unexpected, but that's what happens with roster mania, right? That's why everybody tunes in.
Yeah, it's just pure craziness. And I think too, like, I expected Krim to be the one, because he kind of would be going out on top, I guess. Like, he's the undisputed GOAT now, right? Like, he's just had an insane career, especially like looking at where he came from with Halo and everything. Like, I thought maybe that was you know, what would end up happening, and now you have this situation where Clayster is still technically like a part of Empire, because they actually did flex his year too, which I also thought was interesting. Brett, are you able to do like a explain like I'm five? What does that mean? They dropped Clayster off the roster, but they kept him signed. What does that mean? What are they doing?
Yeah, Yeah. So the way the mechanics of these things work, so teams had until midnight Sunday night to extend the plus one options, right? And some teams have announced what they've done, some teams haven't. But if you're a team, like we did not extend any of our plus ones, but let's say for the sake of discussion that we had a player who we intended to trade to another team for a buyout, we probably would have extended that plus one and then would still be, you know, would be retaining his rights. And then when you can make the backing up a little bit, starting on the 14th, starting next Monday is when officially players are free agents. You can file the paperwork with the league, all of those things. That's when sort of everything becomes official. Like right now, players whose plus ones weren't extended can negotiate. You can discuss terms. You can do contract. Like you can do all the things ahead of the start of the next official season. And then next Monday is when all of those moves can become, you know, can become official. So in the case of a player whose plus one has been extended, they could still be traded to another team.
Okay, and we did see, you know, Hastro kind of following up last week with Clay's announcement saying that they're going to get Clay, you know, where he wants to go, which I'm curious, where is that? And what does that look like? Like, especially with so many of these, I don't want to call them roster wipes because I don't think that's what it is, because you will see players get signed back on to teams that they didn't get their plus one extended from. But I have a question from the chat icon, and this one's for you especially. What's your fantasy team with the free agents out there? Like, if you're making a 4v4 roster going into Cold War, play GM for a sec. Who are you looking at? Who are you angling for? What are you trying to do? Obviously, I just want to preface this. This is so obvious to me, but maybe not to everyone else. There is so, I can't express that enough, so much that happens during Roster Mania that the public doesn't know about. It's not as simple as sitting here and looking at their player cards and KDs and being like, well, here's the team. There's contracts. There's agents. There's friendship. There's, I don't want to go here because of this, but I really want to go here because of this guy. And then that guy's not there, so he doesn't want to go there anymore. It's crazy. So let's just throw all that out the window. Icon, who are you pairing together going in to a four-man roster into Cold War?
So this question is, it's actually kind of tough because it's a lot of the same type of player that's been released.
Right.
So for example, if you're looking to build a roster, you need like that Slayer SMG, right? You need like that Simp, you need that Envoy, you need, you know, somebody like that that's just a flat out Slayer at that SMG position. And obviously, you're not letting go of those, right? If you're Dallas, you're not letting go of Shotzi. If you're Chicago, you're not letting go of Envoy. So it's tough to build a team in that regards because like that superstar player isn't there. But I think I've already touched on a couple of them. Like if I had to start a team, I think Arcides is probably number one. I think he's top two or three players in the entirety of the league. Obviously, he's already probably got a destination, but I think that's a player that you absolutely sell out for just because he can run an SMG effectively, which isn't his role at all that we saw in the beginning of the year when it was four SMGs, one AR. And then he can, you know, switch it up. And that's the reason, or at least that's what he said today, the reason why he did elect to walk away from Chicago is just because he wanted that opportunity to run a main AR and just be that main AR player. And 2 years ago in Black Ops 4, he didn't have that option because of EU. This year, he didn't have that option because of formal. So it does seem like that's the reason why. But I'm starting with Arcides from there. Priesta, I love what Priesta does. And then, again, like we mentioned earlier, the SMG part is really tough for me. I mean, do you go that amateur route? I know a lot of people have been talking kind of over the last day or so that there's so much talent. I think it was Crim6 that said for sure there were like three or four AM teams that were absolutely better than, you know, like the bottom two or three teams in the CDL. So is that a route you go? Also, OGLA just let go of Draza and Hollow, and they played fantastic towards the end of the year. So maybe you take a couple talents like that, mix it with Priesta and Arcides, and all of a sudden you got a squad that I think can compete. But really, the toughest part of that question is just trying to figure out, like, who do you want to have that main Slayer SMG? Because there's not a lot out there, right? It's like, obviously you'd want to build around a quarterback in football, but if everybody's keeping them, then, you know, what are you supposed to do? So, yeah, it's a tough question, but that would probably be my approach. Take someone like Hollow and Draza, who really had success, looked really good towards the end of the year with OGLA, pair him up with a flex like Priesta, bring in Arcides, if that was at any way possible, and then now you got a squad there.
That sounds like a good squad to me. I think the coaches made a good point when they were on too, is it's about the non-intangibles, right? Like, do they show up for you? Not in the sense of do they get on and scrim, but like, are they really like all in? Because what you need, especially with how competitive this league, and it's going to be more competitive this year because you have, you're moving the roster sizes down. So there's going to be starter level talent not starting. And it's going to be more competitive than ever for these guys trying to get on roster slots. I'm ecstatic to see the challengers this next season, because challengers is going to be insane. I really hope that they start giving that more coverage, because especially now, like with these young guns that you're talking about and that we even saw last year coming into play, like that's just going to be crazy to watch. And I think it's that grind mentality that those types of players have. And I think the grind mentality that might force some of these veterans who've maybe they have been kind of sitting a little pretty. And we all said it a year ago that franchising is going to weed those people out, because it's professional now, right? You have to be at the exact top of your A game. So I think it is about those intangibles too. And I think, especially when you like look at like free agency, I wanted to point this out earlier, Brett, but let me know what you think about it. Last year, everyone was a free agent, and we didn't have to there were some teams where you needed to pay a buyout for the players if they were a restricted free agent. But other than that, it was kind of like free range as far as like talking to people, and like the options were there. This year, I think the coaches kind of hit on this a little bit. It was like, it's almost more difficult now, because now you need to like negotiate the other team, and there's a lot more going on behind the scenes. Is there a lot of that, Brett, this year, because some of these players are still locked up in their contracts, or because the team is releasing them but maybe wants to let them back, but maybe if the price is too high then maybe not? Like, talk about if this year's roster mania is more complicated than last.
Yeah, I would say it's different. Maybe a little less complicated, just from the standpoint that last year, literally every player was a free agent. And that was, you know, that was unprecedented in any, you know, any esport, any sport, for there just to be a total reset of the system with every player essentially available. What's been really interesting this year is that there was a bit of a poker game going on this past week, because you had this deadline Sunday night for player or for teams to extend the plus one on their players. And if you're an org that had a player that is in theory in high demand, you might be shopping the player around, but there's also a risk where if you extend a plus one, thinking that you're going to get a big buyout, if you don't have that deal in place before Sunday night and you extend that plus one, now as the org, you're on the hook for their next year's contract. So if you don't have that buyout and that trade in place before that deadline, you're playing a pretty serious hand of poker to go into this week in that situation. So, you know, from our standpoint, without getting into the details of who we were talking to and all that, because that's not something we're going to get too specific with.
Sorry.
I mean, but the coaches, you know, the coaches were talking to, just like last year, talking to pretty much every player that we knew to be available. The interesting dynamic over the past week is, you know, even if you thought a player was available, you need to ask the org's permission before you go and talk to that player. So, you know, there are definitely players that we were interested in, who we had heard either through the grapevine, or through on social media might be available. So we'd reach out to the organization. We'd ask permission to talk to that player. We'd talk to the org about a potential buyout, talk to the player about what that might look like. Now, that's what the last week looked like. Now that we're past that, you know, that Sunday night deadline, now every player that who's plus one was not extended, they're free to talk to any team, and any team's free to talk to any player. So now is when, you know, is when really there's, you know, there's a lot of activity going on. But it's, you know, it's been a fascinating process to look at, you know, last year versus this year. And all of it at the end of the day, you know, it's like anything else. If you've got a top player in mind, as an org, if you want to compete for a championship, which we do, we want to go hard after those top players. And like I said, we're not going to get specific on who we're talking to. But you know, we're here to win. We're not here to mess around.
Hell yeah. Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Here's a good question from the chat. In chat, feel free to ask any questions you guys want. We will or will not answer them. We'll see. But what is scarier, in your opinion, Icon? New York Subliners with Clayster or FaZe with Arcides? That all sounds scary.
Yeah, I think both of those are a really good squad. But, I mean, I've touched on it, I think, two or three different times already. I think Arcides is one of the top two or three players in the game. So you add him with, I mean, Simp, who's a fantastic SMG, but he can also snipe. I mean, he hits all of those shots in big time roles. You have Celium, who is just that perfect flex, right? He can run an AR, he can run an SMG. Then you have Abizi, who's just, I mean, he's just all over the map. It's like there's four of him running around the map. So you put those four players together, they're perfectly locked into their roles. So AR, I mean, Arcides is a perfect AR. Simp and Abizi are perfect SMGs. Celium, the flex. I mean, they can go either way. And that's one of the things with that team is that if it does end up being like a 3 SMG, 1 AR meta, they can do that. If it's a 2 AR, 2 SMG meta, they can do that because Celium is really good with an AR. So that's a tough team. I do think now we're not even 1,000%, or at least I'm not even 1,000% sure from the rumors that I've heard who the fourth is on New York. Obviously, you know, from what everybody is saying, they're holding on to Zuma, they're holding on to Mac, and then Clayster's supposed to be going there. You would just figure that Attach would be the fourth person there just because of the history that those players have together. But that is also, I mean, that's a really good team. Mac was one of the best young players, one of the brightest stars in our league last year. So I would absolutely say that they're like a top four team. I'd probably put them on the same level as Chicago. They're probably right there. Just looking at this, when I look at, so like you mentioned earlier, when I look at Dallas, I see a little bit like, why would you pick Krim over Clay? Like that sort of thing. Like maybe, I don't want to say like a hole in that roster, but maybe not suited 1,000%. When I look at Atlanta, I just like, where's the hole? Like, how are you going to beat them? You know, that they're good everywhere. So for me, it would probably go towards Atlanta. But yeah, New York is definitely scary. And the other thing that I'll say, and somebody said this in the chat, Mike Belliger, something like that. He mentioned that John is also a free agent. So we haven't seen John play in a couple of years, right? So nobody knows, like, he was a top talent the last time that we saw him. So he took a year away, and now there's rumors out there that he might want to play. Also, Mental coming over from Gears of War, he just announced that today. So one of the most one of the most decorated console shooter players of all time says he's gonna make that switch. And then, so I mean, it's just so far out there without having any like behind the scenes information or anything. There's just so much going on, but yeah, it's a crazy time for sure. Absolutely,
it's pure craziness. I think to answer the original question, who's more scary, Clay at New York or Arcides with FaZe? I think FaZe is the more scary roster, especially when you look at like the age and the ceiling on that is, it's so high. So that'll be pretty insane. But I love, obviously this is unconfirmed. I don't know. I do not know. We're just talking about rumors, all right? If Clay were to go to New York and Zuma and Mac got their contracts extended, so we know they're there. And then if Attach, what you said, is there, that's the old FaZe roster from like World War II, I think. With Mac Melt, who's nasty. Like, that's a pretty scary team as well. I think what we're going to see this next season, because it is going from 5v5 to 4v4, we thought stuff was competitive this year. Like, there was, how much, I keep saying it, but it was 10 different teams in the grand finals out of 12, six different winners. Like, there wasn't a juggernaut all year. Like, yes, FaZe won the most, and yes, they were the probably the most consistent up there with Dallas too. But like, frick, man, it's about to get so much more just crazy and competitive. I'm mind blown. Brett, here's a quick question. Do you think teams will keep the same amount of subs or drop down to the minimum that is now 5? Because obviously with the rosters going from 5v5 to 4v4, that changes the minimum amount of players needed on a team. Do we think, you know, what happens with, like, the people in sub spots, especially because those sub spots, as I mentioned before, will become much more competitive with these players just really vying for those starting spots? Brett, what's your take and just everything you've kind of seen from that new development?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's been probably a great question for the coaches, but I think just from a, you know, from how you could imagine the scene unfolding over the next few months, yeah, I think teams will obviously focus on locking up their starting four, but there's going to be an enormous amount of talent out there. You know, that's just common sense when you're going from, you know, 60 starting players to 48. And then you add to that some of the up and coming talent that certainly, you know, will certainly be in the mix in the future. You know, I also would say that, you know, there's several changes that CDL is making to the Challengers ecosystem going forward that I think will be very positive and will make it easier for teams to carry players on their bench in those sub spots. That can be two-way players and participate at a high level in Challengers. So, you know, too soon to say what that means for us specifically, and obviously that's more of a coach's question than for me anyway. I think a lot depends on what your starting roster looks like. And then what you see as that potential future talent, because you know, I think as organizations' understanding of the dynamics of the amateur scene mature, right? You're going to see organizations want to plan ahead more and want to lock up young talent that can be either the future for your roster or can be traded to other rosters in the, you know, months or years ahead. So I think it'll be really interesting to see it unfold. And I think organizations that are smart about how they approach it will benefit.
I agree. I think it's going to, I think the competitive and the competitiveness of this year, and also just the amateurs rising to the top because they have that shot. And especially if there's changes, I think, to how the sub spots on a team can operate for this next year, I think that will be really helpful for people trying to come in. You know, you talk about, for some reason failed to mention Snakebite coming over from Halo as well. Like, mental, bro, I'm gonna go on a rant. This is a side street. I'm taking y'all down. Mental, I think I looked at his Twitter bio today. He's like a 23. I might even have that wrong. It might even be 33. He's like a 70 million times Gears of War champion. He is and believe me, guys, we're on Optic at the same time, okay? He's a great kid, by the way. Every game that he played, whether it was COD, Fortnite, PC, Control, anything, he's just one of those people that's like good at whatever he plays. And so when I'm looking at someone coming in like that, like if I'm a pro that's kind of on the cusp, like those dudes scare the crap out of me, right? That just shows how competitive that this will be, because I do think people like that can come in and have a really big impact. So I'm stoked to see what happens, just as someone who knows Mental, shout out Billy. I'm excited to see him kind of come in and tear it up in Call of Duty. I'm a huge fan of, I mean, we've seen it with Formal, we've seen it with Shotzi. Like, people, it's successful when it happens the right way, right? So I'm pretty excited. I got a question. Here, you know what, chat? I'm going to spin it on you. I got a question for you. This year we had Hardpoint, Search and Destroy, Domination. Okay, this is Infinity Ward game type. We haven't had Domination as a game mode in a Treyarch Call of Duty since Black Ops 1. That was in 2011 or something, okay? Thank goodness, by the way. We've seen Uplink. We've seen Control. What was CTF. We've seen many different game modes come in as that third flex game mode from Treyarch. But I want to know the question or an answer from you guys in the chat. What third game mode do you guys want? And why? Why is it better? You want CTF? You want control? You want to just do like two hardpoints and three searches? If I could, if I was the competitive COD god, I'd just do that. I'd be like hardpoint and search, that's it. But no, I don't even know. Icon, do you have an opinion? Do you have a favorite third game mode? Obviously, the most recent Treyarch third game mode was Control in Black Ops 4. What did you think about that? You like CTF? Where you at?
Anything other than domination. I don't care what it is, as long as it's not Dom.
Please,
just
bro.
watching the same tug of war strategy to play out over and over again. I don't know. It just bores me. It's not exciting. So Control, I mean, Control was great. It kind of had those aspects of hardpoint and of surge all rolled into one. I thought the plays that they got from uplink back in AW was incredible, right? Somebody would be like throwing that ball and it's about to go in and then somebody intercepts it. And now that's the game winning play. I mean, stuff. It's just like, you never know what's going to happen in game modes like that. Blitz was also one in Ghost where, yeah. I mean, it's just super exciting because it brought other aspects into competitive Call of Duty. Like you could literally like hide beside a portal and then you're just trying to chain portal captures back to back. And it's just like stuff that we don't normally see. So I do think that the most strategic and probably the most competitive is Capture the Flag, but it does get a little bit stale at times, right? Like if you have the enemy's team flag and they have yours, now it's basically like a 3v3 team deathmatch. And let's see if the other person can grab the enemy's flag that they're holding so that you can capture your own. So yeah, just anything other than domination. It just bores me. I don't want to see it anymore. It's the same strategy over and over. It doesn't matter which two teams are playing, right? They're just trying to do the same thing. And I guess you could say that for any, but there's so many variables that come into hardpoint and search and destroy that don't come into domination. So anything other than Dom, that's my answer.
I agree. It looks like the chat's pretty freaking split, man, between CTF and Control. It's hard for me to think about this. I didn't even think about this till just now. Control was on 5v5. It was kind of like, it got a little messy sometimes. It got a little fast paced at the beginning of the round, and those lives would start to dwindle down. You'd start to see people play a lot slower, more strategic. CTF in Black Ops 2, 4v4, chef's kiss, dude. So good. And the reason it's good is because it's 4v4, those kills, eliminations, when you're trying to pull the flag, if you get two down and you pull the flag, in the back of your mind you're thinking, okay, there's only two more people I need to worry about now. Like all of those eliminations are so much more impactful in a game mode like CTF. So I don't know what Big Daddy Von Har's got planned. I don't know what's coming out. I have no idea, but I hope it's just one of those two. Maybe, I don't know, Treyarch likes to do crazy stuff. They like to come out with new stuff. Maybe they'll come out with something completely new and like really try hard to make that the thing. Who knows? Five Doms viewership would spike. Yeah, right, Chad. Could you imagine?
Here's a question for you. So I saw someone in the chat that said leak one roster spot, and we're not going to do that. But what are you? We brought you out in here to talk about the rumors that are out there. What are you hearing in the rumor mill about us?
Yeah, actually, though, like I don't know. I only know reality.
We've been on this podcast for an hour. I haven't been able to check like the intel accounts while we've been on here. What's out there about Rocker? What are you hearing?
Nothing, honestly. I haven't heard a single thing from anybody. I didn't even know the tweets came out yesterday of who was getting dropped and whatnot. I didn't know that 3 days ago that GodRx was being let go. I didn't know if that was somebody that you would hold around because he is a really good talent. Like, I didn't know anything. So I was actually texting. I was in a text thread with my friends that I used to compete with and like, wow, Asim is gone. And then like, they just kept coming off the board. So yeah, it's been pretty airtight. That's what I'll say from my standpoint.
Well, I'll say that's not for a lack of conversations that we're having out there.
Sure.
Yes.
I won't say any more than that, but let's stick with what we were just talking about, Icon. Where do you see the players that were part of this roster going next year? Let's say for the sake of discussion that none of them come back here. Where do you see them fitting with how things are moving around? And who do you see potentially sticking together?
I guess the first name that comes to mind just because of his roots would be Alex. I could probably, I mean, he's a superb talent, and I could see him teaming up somewhere over in London in EU. I guess that would be the first one that really comes to mind. But then you have, man, it's tough. It's tough to say, like, if these, because I don't know. So I don't know the dynamic of, like, how they gelled throughout the year. So I don't know if, like, somebody wants to stick with somebody. And if that's the case, like, say Aseem and Silly want to stick together, then maybe they go to LAG and they kind of have, like, an extension at that roster. So it's tough to know without really knowing the behind-the-scenes dynamic of how everybody got along. I would absolutely say that Assault finds a home somewhere because, I mean, he's such a talent at the AR position. So, and again, I guess you could narrow some things down, right? Because obviously Assault's not going to go to a team like Seattle because Seattle has Octane and that's the person that they're building around. And that's just not where he's going to end up. But the flip side of that, see, I'm like talking to myself in circles now, because the flip side of that is there's only 12 teams, which means there's only 12 main AR positions. So if you can flex, you know, it's a little bit better for you because there's so many more, there's 36 potentially SMG positions. So does Assault find a home with like LAG, or we know Paris got rid of their roster in London? It's I don't know. I definitely see a lot of them potentially finding a home somewhere, whether it is on a starting roster or as a sub. Alex would be the most notable one just because you know, his storylines and where he comes from and the potential roster that's being built in London. But they did keep Shawnee. So who does Shawnee, you know, it seems like they might be giving him the keys to the kingdom over there. So who does he want to build around? It's just, I don't know. It's like when you watch those shows and there's just like a board on the wall and there's just lines drawn everywhere. That's how I feel right now. Like everybody could go everywhere. And
ours is just to my left.
Exactly. Don't drop the webcam, Brett.
In Jake and Brian's apartment. You know, I think would be cool here if the chat wants to throw out roster combinations and let Icon react to them, and like all like Ashley, you and I, like, let's put on our masks.
Poker face. Honestly,
we won't react, but Icon can react to them.
I'll read them out to you, Icon, or I guess you can read them out too, guys. Who, if you're playing GM, you in the chat right now, you, I know you have access to a chat, okay, you're signed in, you've hit like on the video already, you've subscribed because you want to see Cold War gameplay tomorrow, you've already done all those things. Put in the chat, who are the four players on the Minnesota, on your Minnesota Rocker, if you're the GM, you're playing GM, who's our starting lineup? We need four people.
And let's assume for the you know, for the sake of the fun we're having here, that the rumors out there are true, right? So if you've heard a rumor that a guy's going somewhere, you know, you're playing GM right now, chat, take them off the board. Go by the latest rumors.
Go by the board that CDL Intel has pinned on their Twitter, because that's the current like rumor board. Wild.
I gotta refresh that one.
Well, it's like seeing old news if you're in our position. It's like, that's old news.
I don't know, man. Sometimes for me, that's where I'm getting my news. Like, I'm waiting for New Zealand time for the sun to come up in New Zealand. So, the phone can give me the info.
Right on. All right, Icon, let's let you react to some of these rosters that are getting put into the chat. What do you think about Wicked Chaos's 4v4 dream team, as he says?
The one with Silly, Assault, Exceed, and Alex?
Yep.
I mean, they showed that it could work this year, right? I mean... Maybe the latter half of the season didn't go obviously how you guys wanted it to, but they showed that it can work. All the roles are there, right? You have the main AR, you have Exceed and Alex, you have kind of a flex there with Silly. So the roles are there. And obviously we covered this kind of together in the watch parties down the stretch, one map away or one rotation away from beating Atlanta in hard points. And so it's not like, I know when everybody thinks of Minnesota, like, didn't win a match for the last 6 months of the season or whatever, but they were so close, took maps off of Florida. So a team like that, I mean, it could work out. It's just like towards the end, it comes down to one key decision on a final rotation and you either make it or you don't. So yeah, I mean, absolutely it could work. Why not?
Yeah, they're coming pouring in. Here's a cool one from Chris. Silly, Clayster, Alex, Exceed, Icon. What do you think of that chat made roster theoretically?
Silly, Clayster, Alex exceed. So basically, you're just taking out accuracy and putting in Clay.
That'd be a low
from
key
what
nasty
we
team.
Said before.
Yeah,
it would absolutely be a nasty team. I can't state this enough. I just feel like when you're looking to build a franchise, you need that person like an Arcides or a Clayster or just somebody that brings the intensity, the in-game leadership, the vibes. Like, how many times over the course of championship weekend did we see Dallas tweet something out where, like, Cuk was getting a three-piece and the whole time Clay is hyping him up? Like, that's somebody you need. So put him in with that trio. I think it's just the intangibles there. I think your coaches were talking about it earlier, how important those intangibles are. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they showed without Clay they could be a winning team. So add him for sure. Why not?
Clay really is that leader that you want carrying your team forward. Here's a cool one. There's so many. I'll let you pick. I'll let you pick which ones you kind of want to dissect a little bit and just if there's any talking points. Eddie, pick out some with maybe the London players, Wuskins and Scraps.
Yeah, I've been watching those a lot also. It seems like those are the two most popular names that are coming through with the chat. I think everybody just assumes that those two twins will stay together, Wuskins and Scraps, and deservedly so. I mean, they both played phenomenally. Scraps has been tremendous, you know, over the last couple titles, and Wuskins really put it together this year. I see one mixed with Pristini and Priesta. Problem with that is you have a couple flexes in there. It would work. It wouldn't be perfect. So, yeah, we would see what would happen there. I also see Alex and Asim in there with Wuskins and Scraps. Also, a name, and I see it there from GAV, so XCGAV. He mentioned Gunless. This whole time, we've been talking for how long? Gunless is one of the most decorated pros over the last couple of years. We haven't even mentioned his name.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's insane the talent pool that's out there. I see Priesta in attach with Wuskins and Scraps. That could be a good team, absolutely. I think anything that you put together, yeah, I mean, Wuskins, Scraps, Priesta, attach, that would be a phenomenal squad. You could throw Gunless in there. I don't know. I mean, this could go on forever. There's a ton of great ones out there.
Yeah, there's so many, like, just created teams going on right now. So there's so much. There's just so much that could happen. And I think one last question I think we'll leave off with. We talked a little bit about, like, theoretically, you know, here are the rumored moves. Here's what's going on. And I know it's very hard to predict these things. Even I can't even think of what this is for myself, so I'm kind of putting you in the hot seat. But what do you think will be the most surprising off-season move in the CDL as far as roster mania goes? Like, what team do you think, like, nobody's going to see coming, or what player acquisition, or what – I mean, maybe it already happened with Clayster, but let's forget that. Let's just theoretically, like, what do you think could be, like, a big bang moment during the roster mania here?
For me personally, I see a lot of, like, people asking, like, what's going to happen with those decorated vets, like Apathy and Slacked and Enabled, and, like, are they going to find a home? I really think that there are a lot of really good talents in the amateur scene. I could absolutely see a team like Paris just picking up one of those AM squads and giving them all the resources that they could possibly need. So I think a lot of people are focused on, like, what happens with Brack, what happens with Classic from Toronto, you know, what happens with these guys that have been around the scene for 2, 3, 4 years, just like Asim and Silly, and the same story with Minnesota. It'll be interesting. And I think the biggest reason for that is because of the success that some of those AM players have already had. Like, nobody really knew what to expect from Shotzi. I know he came from Halo. It's a little bit of a different story. But then Draza and Hollow come in, and they're successful. And, wow, maybe there is some talent here in this amateur scene. The only thing that I could say that might go against that a little bit is they had success while playing in their bedrooms. So that might be a little bit different, right? Because a lot of times, as you know, I watch a ton of scrims and break it down and everything. And you might not see Scump have, you know, the best 2 or 3 day stretch, and he's not really playing that great. He's bottom of his squad. But when the lights are on and it's time to perform and show up, he's just got that it factor. Same with Formal. Like, so yeah, I mean, it's easy to say the AMs played really well down the final months of the season, but they were doing it without the bright lights and the crowd and the pressure situations. Rumor has it that that's how, you know, CDL is going to be next year too. So maybe that's not such a big thing. But yeah, that would, I guess that would be what I'm looking for, is I think one of these squads that's looking for a roster rather than piecemeal, like take Gunless from here and accuracy from you guys and, you know, like piecemealing people from all over the place. Maybe they just stick with the chemistry of one of those AM teams and that's who they move forward with.
I think that's a really cool call out, especially with when you look at, you know, teams that just suit like super, super struggled like almost all year. I would, or even like one more thing, I guess. I have one more thing. If you're Seattle, are you doing that same thing? I mean, you have Octane, who theoretically probably, like, I don't know, it's hard to say, but he played so well this season. I think he probably was the best AR in the league. You're letting him, like, you're giving him the keys, right? I would assume. I mean, I don't know how they recruit or anything, but like, if you're Seattle, do you go like, okay, a bunch of, you know, young guns around Octane, or do you try to find those seasoned vets who are going to be able to complement him pretty well? Seems like they already tried that.
Yeah,
I'll shock myself out. Yeah.
That's the question. You know that he has connections from previous rosters that he's been on. So is he one that, you know, picks up like a John that everybody's been talking about, or a Gunless, or so does he go with those players that have had success in the previous two or three titles, or does he go with a Holo and Draza route with, you know, AMs that are young 21, 22 year old players that, you know, are fresh on the scene and are excited to play? I don't know. I mean, those are the questions that need to be answered. Brett, I have a question for you real quick. I've kind of been thinking about this one a little bit, because so for those that don't know, it's probably pretty similar to what you guys experience in Minnesota, at least a little bit, but I'm from Cleveland. So I know, like, in Cleveland, if you want to get like a free agent prospect, you have to like oversell and overpay, right? So I know you guys mentioned, like, the first year of the CDL, it was like a 1-1. So 1 year with like the team option. And then your coaches were talking about how year two, they might be resetting, so you could do another 1-1 type deal. Is there a limit on how many years you could pick up a player for? Like, does that come into effect yet? Because if you're going for, you know, like one of these players to build around, just hypothetical, Arcees could go to Atlanta for a 1-1, or he could sign a 5-year deal somewhere. Is that a thing yet? Or is the league too still young there?
Yeah, the 1-1 is the limit. So you can't go beyond that. Now, the interesting dynamic for teams that have players that they want to keep long term is, you know, if they just finished their first season, do you try to re-sign them for another 1-1, right? Okay. So that you're and same thing if you're trading for a player, if you're paying a buyout to an org for one of those top guys that you mentioned. You know, you're going to, like, I'll say it right now, if we were to make one of those deals, we would want to get, if we're paying a buyout, we want to get that player on a 1-1, not just inherit the final year of his contract.
Right.
Strategically from a contract standpoint, once you open that door as an org, now the player can renegotiate too. So it's a two-way street. You open up the contract and say, we want to add, you know, we want to get you on a new 1-1. The player can ask for a raise. They can ask for different, you know, different perks as part of it. So it's all part of the game. But yeah, that's a good question.
Okay. I wasn't sure if like the league was at that level yet, where you're talking about years and all that stuff is coming into play or not. But
yeah, I mean that does. Yeah, I mean that does. You know, that does sort of take one dynamic out of play. But there's no question. The other part of your question, you know, trying to bring players to Minnesota. I grew up in Minnesota, live here now, lived most of my adult life in New York. I'll put Minnesota up against any place there is. But there's a reality that there are times where, you know, any sports team, if you're going up against big money thrown around by certain cities, et cetera, like if you're, you know, look at the NBA, for example, right? You've got, you know, when you have those teams on the coast throwing big money around, you know, everyone in between has to figure out, do we measure up? How do we play that? So, you know, it's always tough when you've got that dynamic. But we think we have a lot to offer players, and yeah, when we look at what we've built organizationally, what Ashley and Annie and all of our content team do every day, We bring in, you know, Gary V as a part of the ownership group, and the commitment we have from the Will family to give, you know, us as an organization and the players every resource to be successful. You know, we're all in, and we think that there's a lot that players, there's a lot of things that we can do to attract players here. And, you know, at the end of the day, we'll see. Like I said, we're being aggressive right now, and we want to bring a championship caliber roster here. What that is, everyone will just have to wait and find out. But, you know, maybe Icon, maybe give us your best guess at our starting four.
I'm not looking when he says this.
The best guess. I think it would be tough to walk away from every player that you already have, especially with the success that some of them had. It's so funny. Every time I see something, I see the shader go up.
We're both just gonna cover our faces, so we can't. There's no reaction. Icon's gonna say it. They can't see our face.
But I could see Assault staying. I think he's so good. He had such a good first year. He was kind of one of the mainstays, like the rocks in your organization. Especially going into a 4v4 meta, main AR is super important, and I'm not sure that there's a better one out there right now, right? Like, that's a big part of it. Who can you get that would be better than the previous acquisitions you already had? So I could see Assault staying. I just don't know if it makes too much sense to replace him unless you get, like, Arcides or Clay. I mean, other than that, I don't really know who you'd go with. From there, I don't even know where I would go. I mean, I guess I would stick with him, and then, oh man, this is tough. See, this is why I just make content. It's a lot easier than putting stuff together.
Yeah, there's a lot of different paths. We'll let you off the hook.
But yeah, I got one out of the four. So if I had to, I would stick with Assault because he was a beast, and there's not many ARs out there. But other than that, I don't know. I'll react to it once the news comes down.
Yeah, well, once we have the roster, we'll have to have you back on to break it down. So,
yes, all right, deal. Would love that. Would love to have you back on. We're over time, guys. I'm going to cut it. I really appreciate you coming on, Icon, and obviously, Brett, thank you so much for just everything that you do. I know it's been an insane couple weeks for you. It's been an insane couple weeks for me. And thank you so much, the most of all, thank you so much to everyone who either watched or is watching this, whether you're watching it live, after the fact, whether you're listening on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. I really appreciate you tuning in and just staying informed with us. Hopefully we'll do another one of these soon. Hopefully the next time we do a podcast, what's the date? It's already the 8th. Theoretically, if we're doing these weekly, if that's how often we are to do it, if we were to do another one next week, in theory, we would possibly have our roster announced. It's possible. I'm not saying it'll happen. I'm just saying it's possible that the next time we talk, we will know and be able to share a lot more. So thank you guys so much for tuning in.